This is Description, episode 39, for June 29th, 2007. Why is my voice so high? Welcome to Description, Valerie in Toronto. Hello, I'm Valerie, and yep, I am definitely in Toronto. And I'm about to start reading. I'm sitting in the patio of Future Bakery, in the heart of my neighborhood, in the annex, in the middle of a weekday. Sometimes when I've had a day off from work, I would see people sitting here and eating the all-day breakfast and chatting and doing whatever they do, and I think, man, it would be cool to be like them, able to sit out on the Future patio on a weekday. Maybe some are actors, like the guy in his cell over to my left waiting for a call from their agent, which seldom comes. Maybe there are people with small businesses on their way up, like the two guys in t-shirts beside me discussing how board of directors voting works. Or the two guys beside them are sketching a plan on the back of a manila envelope. Maybe they're contract workers for larger companies, like the young woman in front of me entering the expenses of a business trip into a form on her laptop, working from a sheaf of receipts on her actual lap. Or maybe they're what used to be called housewives, taking a break, like the two women behind me. And maybe I'm wrong about all of them, taking some coffee right now. But there seems to be something, I don't know, glamorous about them, being able to sit out on the patio of Future Bakery in the middle of a weekday. So, how am I able to be here right now? Well, I submitted my resignation almost 3 weeks ago. I can say resignation because I was in kind of a management-like position on a level where people can use that word and it's very sophisticated. Resignation seems kind of an inappropriate word, though, since in order to submit it, I had to stop being resigned to the way the company worked. As you may have heard in previous episodes, the work itself, the description, is something I'm passionate about, and I still am, and it's likely I'll keep doing it. Although I don't entirely know how right at the moment, but I just didn't want to do it there anymore. I'm not going to go into gory details here, firstly because you know I'm not really into gory details, and also because there may be some people listening who could keep being mean and vindictive and take advantage of said gory details, interpreting them however they see fit. That kind of sucks, but that's the way it is. When you give your 2 weeks' notice, you start developing these talking points to get the explanations out of the way for every single person who asks for one. The big one was, I've been here for more than 7 years, and it's just time for me to take a break. Well, that's about right, although it sounds very diplomatic, uncharacteristically diplomatic for me. But I actually needed a break after about 5 years. Still, before that job, I was out of regular work for a long while, as I made a rather ungraceful transition out of radio, and the idea of putting myself back in that situation was really scary. It was too scary, so I kept my head down, focused on the work. The work itself is feeding me. A couple years later, though, it became painfully clear that it could not feed me, that nothing could. I was fucked up. So I started working on that, and it was hard, and it isn't finished. It never is finished. But I got far enough that I could look at my situation, which is now different than it had ever been. I could look at my financial investments, such as they are, and discover that I wasn't afraid to walk away anymore. So I did. I walked away, almost straight onto a train to Kingston, taking me to Podcasters Across Borders last Friday. And while there were lots of hobbyist podcasters like me, there were also people who have made this their own thing. Not merely podcasting, really, but ideas surrounding it related to social media, of making a network of connections simply based on your talent and other gobbledygook I haven't wrapped my head around because it's largely untested, and, well, it involves talking to people. You know me and talking to people, right? At PAD, there was a giveaway, and one of the requirements of being in this giveaway was to give the full names of three people you've met for the first time at that conference. Of course, I read that and I whined and I lulled my head and I'm like, I need more. But that night, I got my three and then some. I couldn't believe it. There was no way I could have done that last year. And it wasn't because I'd just left my job and I was desperate or something. It was because I had less fear. I found myself discussing my ideas of what I'm going to do now, which forced those ideas to become real. And people were responding. It was pretty cool. Everyone was doing what they could over that weekend, supporting themselves and supporting each other. So from there, I came home. I slept for 11 hours. I did a couple auditions. I got in my Gmail from my agent, which doesn't actually happen that often. I edited some town scene stuff, and somehow I got the flu, which I'm just coming out of now. I wonder if anyone would be able to tell that from looking at me, gingerly eating the all-day breakfast, sitting with these people on the patio of Future Bakery on a weekday. But here I am.
chance for this dance. Please buy in time to warm in for the trance. Then live in the waiting.
For Chance by Mantler, a.k.a. Chris Cummings, from the album Satisfaction, with a D in there somewhere, from a few years ago. I saw this guy open for Danny Michel in this little theater a long time ago, and I never forgot it. And I sent this message to Chris through his MySpace page, and he said, "I can't believe you still remember that. That was like 2000. And I'm like, "God, it's 2000. Holy crap." But has that kind of effect on people. For links to hear and buy more Mantler and other links about stuff in this episode, go to the blog, now with a new domain. Da-da-da-da. It's descriptiontoronto.com. That's descriptiontoronto.com. The Soundseeing Tour for this time round is from my visit to the CBC Broadcast Center during Doors Open at the end of May. Figures for an event where you can go to all these buildings you've never had the chance to visit. I had to start Doors Open this year by going to a building I'd go to a few times a month because I'd make deliveries for work. What was my work? But I found myself for Doors Open, after going to various other places, I found myself going into a part of it I'd always walked past and had every chance to go into it any other time, but I just happened to this time. It's the CBC Museum.
CBC Museum. It's open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, Saturday, 12 to 4. I will have a link. And it has little screens talking about some of the stuff and clips and stuff. And this is something I could go do a sensing tour for any day. Actually, everything I've done so far, I could do on any day. Sorry. And there are little artifacts, like the original trolley from the original Mr. Rogers neighborhood, which started here and then went back down to Pittsburgh, where Fred Rogers came from. And here's the costumes and Jerome from the Friendly Giant. Oh, both of them, Jerome and what's his face? Ah, damn it. The rooster. Idiot. Oh my god, and the little chair to curl up in and to rock and the little furniture at the beginning. Holy crap, awesome. And people are taking pictures of it. Oh, what the hell? Let's go through. And it, when I go through, I would be walking under a plane, a CF-90. Being flown by one of the Canadian Muppets on our Sesame Street. The old woman with the glasses, I can't remember her name, because I wasn't watching Canadian Sesame Street by the time that those really Canadian characters showed up. You know, Basil the Bear and the other one. So there are just different scenes of stuff. And you can press a button for a different clip of things. And there's the actual castle from the Friendly Giant, which, to be honest, looks like something that somebody put together in papier-mâché in, like, grade 5. But I think that was the point. And there are like a zillion microphones, which radio geeks would be totally all over.
And then you the ship's in the yes.
More Canadian Muppets, including the one in the wheelchair with the Pippi Longstocking hair. Oh, right. That's right. There's supposed to be a specific exhibit running in the museum right now about children's television. Although there is a section here with pictures from sports, with a sports quiz. And an original script from Foster Hewitt. Legendary play-by-play guy for Hockey Night in Canada, back from when it was radio. It's Hockey Night in Canada, presented by Imperial Oil on behalf of your neighborhood Imperial Esso dealer. Tonight, Toronto Maple Leafs versus New York Rangers. Play-by-play by Foster Hewitt. Dun, 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 dun. So, also a little thing about Mr. Dress-Up. I want to be quiet because there's a kid watching one of the multitude of clips you can watch. It shows Mr. Dress-Up stuff. Yes, people are now agog at the actual tickle trunk. The deal with Mr. Dress-Up, if you don't know, is that he has this tickle trunk with all kinds of different costumes and hats and whatever they would put on, and then they would pretend to do something cool. And then, in turn, do something cool. So, indeed, cool. There's lots of old stuff, including radio drama scripts. And can a knock on the door be funny? Try it. Sound effects often indicate some action and consist of a sequence of sounds. Thanks. For example, when visiting a neighbor next door, the action begins with your footsteps approaching the door and continues through a sequence of sounds such as the door knocking and unlocking until the door closes behind you. Writers often describe how the action should be performed to help convey the mood of the scene. Experiment with your timing and expression to create a sequence of sounds. Can you describe the action unfolding from the sound you've created? Well, if you can't, we will. And there's a little cabinet with different locks and doorknobs and things. Oh, that's for... There's this coaster type thing with holes on it, on this cabinet, to indicate... You knock on it, and it sounds more like a knock on the door than an actual knock on the door. Knocks, knocks, opening, closing. A card machine! Okay, here's another indication of being old. When something that you worked with at work is now in a museum. Yes, that's right. A cart machine. Radio geeks will know all about this. Oh, this just totally freaks me out. And this is exactly the kind of cart machine that I would use in radio from the very beginning. And for quite a while after, actually. That's crazy. For those who don't know what a cart machine is, to put it very simply, it's an A-track, basically. A bunch of really short A-tracks. And the advantage of them was that you play them, and once they're done playing, they would cue up to the beginning again because they're on a loop. Okay? And so you would... Here in this cart machine, there's three of them, three cart slots. And there's a green start button. There's a yellow button next to it and a red button under it. And it... This is... Can be explaining this. Start is obvious. The yellow thing indicates that it's queued up to go. And I think the red indicates it stops. The analog audio cart machine, first introduced in the late 50s, provided sound effect artists with a new medium for recording and playing back sound effects. Oh, that's the context they're talking about this in, even though this is pretty much the medium of radio for 30 years. The advantages of the audio cart lay in its ability to instantaneously play back recorded effects and automatically re-cue at the start of the tape. Every song you ever hear on the radio, up until about 10 years ago, was played on this medium. Unless it was reel-to-reel, that's a really long story. Pretty much all of them were like this. And all commercials would be played on these, too. They've given me... There's a button here. So let's see what it does. Oh, it's playing an effect. And the start button is lit. How long is it? Doesn't say. Another advantage to the cart machine is that you could put on what's called a tersh tone, which means a little indicator, a little signal or something. I don't know how that works. I think the red would come on when something was screwed up. Anyway. And you would say you had three cart machines. I mean, three carts in each of these slots. Right. If you set a tersh tone, which is just pressed another button while you're recording onto the cart machine, you set a tersh tone at the end, or near the end, it would fire off when the machine read that tone, that you can't hear, it would fire off the next cart machine. Okay, and they would trip one to another. And so when you would hear commercial breaks with one commercial after another, you wouldn't be playing those individually. They would fire off one after the other in sequence automatically. That's part of our job. And the same thing with songs as well. Music director would record, would dub a song that would be on vinyl or cassette or eventually CD or reel-to-reel, and would dub it onto a cart machine and would set a tersh tone near the end, when they would want, during the fade out or something, when they would want the next song to play, and off it would go. See, similar thing is done now in the land of digital, but it's like you basically tell the computer, sequencer, whatever, to fire off the next event at this time in the song. So it's pretty much a similar deal. But it started with this card machine. It's exactly the same. That's so freaky. Oh my god. Something I worked with in radio for a very long time is now in a freaking museum. That's crazy. But it's here in the context of radio drama as something you would use for effects that you wouldn't do live, like with the cabinet door thing we just did. And with other things that are now, that people are playing with right now, a timpani, a glass crasher? Sound effects artists are fearless when it comes to breaking glass. In a glass crasher, two sheets of glass are held in a twin frame while, oh, that's above, I think, while large steel balls on a pendulum are swung by the sound effects artist. The crate below is designed to capture the shards of broken glass. Ah, below that, it has the description for the chain wheel, which is the thing that guy was just turning. The effect creates a large vessel. A large vessel sound, such as pulling an anchor or hoisting a sail. Timpani, obvious, car door. There's this really old, crazy-looking car door up on top here. And right now, someone's pulling the crank on a wind machine. A drum constructed of wooden slats and sheet of canvas over top is rotated at different speeds to create the sound of wind. Cool. And up above is jail door, which is self-evident. Turn the handle. Tournez la poignée. Kick ass. Oops. Sorry. More little sound effect thing. Wicked. There's a little exhibit. That is a DVD. And, oh my god, no way. It says, above it says, the success of any sound effects device relies upon the listener's imagination. Close your eyes. Do you recognize the sounds you hear? Well, no, because you're not running it. And I have nothing to press. And pretty much if you couldn't hear it, if it was on TV, we would be doing it for you. So if you're a radio geek, you have to come here. Just go nuts. I'm going to come back through here. The characters in question for Sesame Park, but you know, Canadian Sesame Street. Basil, Louis, Chaos, and Katie. Fun-loving bunch of Muppets encourage children to explore educational concepts and appreciate Canadian values. Thank you. Basil is a polar bear. Louis, the francophone otter. Dodie, the fearless pilot. That's the woman, the old woman outside. And Chaos, who basically doesn't seem to have any identity. And Friendly Giant. Bob Hummy was the Friendly Giant, known simply as Friendly.
Hey there, Rusty. Okay, hey, what a great day. See, we took Friendly's boot away from him, so he's staying in the cast, not going to hike or everything. It's a very special day.
Yeah, it's the day we begin our 25th year in the castle.
It's a special kind of party, you see, for the Friendly Giant and for all of us.
With a big concert, guest stars, the floor.
I'm gonna press an older year for this. 1959. Let's try 1959. So you've got Friendly, big human guy, Bob Hummy. You've got Jerome, giraffe head poking through a castle window. And Rusty, that's it. Rusty, who is this rooster puppet guy, who would just basically hang from a bag hanging from the wall.
I feel bad. It's raining. It's drizzling. It's supposed to be spring, and it isn't even like spring. Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, Jerome is usually kind of grumpy. And the whole deal is basically those guys talking. That's pretty much it. It would make a good podcast now, I think of it. Someone has to redo that. That would be wicked. Well, I think I've covered enough here before even going through any kind of tour to fill up SoundScene tour, so that may have to be it. Nice.
That's it for description this time. I have a feeling I'm going to be putting these out a little more often than I had been. Remember, for links and further blathering in text type form, there is the blog with the new and improved domain of descriptiontoronto.com. That's descriptiontoronto.com. I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook, I'm still hanging in there in Second Life as Valerie Bethune, so say hi. I'll leave you with my last delivery to CBC. Now, this was one of my favorite things about my job, to have a show done and have the D-Beta sit in my hands, and I take it upon myself on my way to the office in Don Mills to deliver the package to the broadcast center, then get coffee and snacks for the day at Ooh La La. Made me feel like I was part of the place. So, follow along one more time. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Take care.
Good morning. There you go. Good day. Can I have a butterscotch tea biscuit, please? I think the butterscotch is over there, isn't it?
Yeah, this is butterscotch.
Oh, okay, great, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Love that. Hi, could I have an iced coffee, please? Thank you. Oh, this way. Can I have a honey castella as well, please?
Sorry?
A honey castella? Yeah. Great, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. I'm getting these in the iced coffee.
And is that a bit?
Oh, that's a butterscotch scone. Or tea biscuit. Sorry.
Just to see it, please. Either way,
don't you? Yeah, I was hoping so. Great, thank you. Over here. Thank you. What is this?
Hello.
Wind.
Good, how are you?
Oh, Hooker's Windy Day. That's what it was. Thank you.